Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us this time every single Wednesday. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. We're obviously praying and thinking a lot about our neighbors to the east and the situation that they are still enduring, and, of course, what they're going to find out is true after the storm passes through and all the reconstruction that they're facing. We well know this problem here in Pensacola. I wanted to ask you, you made the announcement yesterday. I admit, I did not know that Fire Station 4 had been closed because of mold issues. I remember the issues with Fire Station 3, and we actually had to build a new fire station because of all of that. This one was able to be caught in time to be remediated?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of those, it's been going on for several months, and we even looked at the building and its age and made sure that it was the right thing to do. Because, you know, you start remediating mold, you don't know where it's going to end sometimes. As a matter of fact, we were thankful, all said and done, we budgeted about $250,000 for the remediation at 4, and we only spent about $165,000, but you never know.
Right.
So we even started to have some conversations about whether we, you know, a 30-year-old building, it should last 50 years, but, you know, what, make sure we were being prudent with the taxpayer dollar. But a good outcome. We got back in there a little sooner than we thought and under budget, so those are both good things. And glad to have that back online.
And by the way, kudos to you for, being willing to ask to spend the money on getting another, you know, building services kind of overseer to handle, well, you know, the community centers, because, you know, what we seem to be finding is, boy, everything is in worse shape than we thought. And we want to prevent these problems and catch them before they get to this point, because that's how we're going to save money. It's an investment to save money, not a spend to, you know, just spend money, right?
Exactly. I look at it as that's not an addition to the budget. It should be a huge boost to our expense line. Yeah, I mean, when you have two people looking at buildings, and you think about some of the buildings we own have been through two major hurricanes, you know, whether it be Ivan, of course, Sally, and whatever damage took place there that you maybe didn't see at the time. And not only that, just the general age and deterioration of the building. And so having two sets of eyes, not just one, on all these assets we have is a no-brainer for me. I mean, I think this person should pay for themselves in spades in terms of being able to save costs and not get to a situation like we are in several of our buildings right now.
Yeah, it's sort of like, hiring a grants person. Well, that position will pay for itself.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say so far that office has paid for it, so, you know, somewhere in the $80 million range in 9 months. I think that's covered their cost.
You know, I was just playing some clips out of Santa Rosa County. They were talking about the challenge of staffing and, of course, you know, keeping good staff, paying your staff enough, hiring positions as your tax base and your population grows so that you can at least maintain a level of service. Because, you know, if the population level grows and you don't expand your capabilities, then you will, by definition, be providing less service per person. What's kind of your view of that at the city? Is it better to grow? Is it better to maintain? Is it better to reward the people you've got? Are you doing anything in this regard?
Yeah, so we had that salary study, and look, I think you have two options as an organization. You can say that we want to invest in our people and expect higher outcomes, be more efficient, and be able to, if you do have low performers in your organization, you're more likely to make the right change with low performers because you are paying competitively enough to replace them with a quality candidate. Or you can take what a lot of municipalities, cities and counties and others do, is they, you know, did chalk it up to complacency. Hey, it's government work. And I just don't understand that. I mean, to put our head in the sand and say, oh, well, this job should pay $14 an hour, $15 an hour, the same as a fast food joint. What always sticks with me is in hospitality, the average cost of turnover, I'm talking about from a bartender to a bartender, waiter to a waiter, is about $6,000 to the organization between overtime you pay, training, lack of quality customer service that leads to lower revenue, all that. And that's just in a hospitality position. And so you think about what the true cost of when people get there and then leave after 90 days, 6 months, there's a hidden cost there that's extreme. And so I'd rather run a little bit of a tighter ship in terms of the organization, not sit around with vacant positions that have been open for years that haven't been filled. But then just put, and let's pay the people what they deserve to be paid. We have to compete with the private market in some ways and other municipalities. We're behind at the city right now. That's what we've learned. But we're going to get there. We're going to have a significant reform to how we reward the people who work here, and that they're proud to work here every day. And I think that's the challenge we have, and that we're going to take head on.
Well, if you, you know, and I mean, it brings a level of accountability to you as the mayor or as, you know, senior management, because, and I'm just numbers out of the thin air here, but, you know, let's say you've got budgeted 200 positions, but you've only got 150 people on staff. Well, you know, the work of 200 people is what it takes to run the city, and you got to figure 150 people are doing the work of 200. So might as well pay them, you know, pay them the extra third that basically would have been paid to somebody else, because the work is getting done. And that also incentivizes, you know, that does a lot of things for the health of the organization. It kind of keeps you accountable to try to make sure that, you know, people aren't being overburdened too much. Right. So that all makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and remember, when you have vacant positions as a city, they have to be budgeted. I mean, in essence, you're paying those positions.
Right.
You can't take that money and spend it on something else. So why not get more efficient? And that's what I mean. Not really get significantly smaller, but just be more efficient and smarter with the way that we use those dollars year to year.
Something I neglected to ask you last week, I meant to and then I just forgot, was, you know, there's been kind of this back and forth between you and the Escambia Children's Trust over the building and the services you want to provide there. And you had some fairly strong words, I thought, directed at staff at the Escambia Children's Trust. And, you know, a couple of days after that, the executive director announced that she was resigning, and they're finding somebody else new. Your reaction to that?
Well, look, I think whatever she thinks is the best for her life and her future is totally fine. That certainly wasn't my expectation. But I do have a clear expectation, which is I just want to know what the rules are. I mean, whoever the new executive director is, not just for the city, not selfishly for me, but for the sheriff's department, for whoever's applying for these dollars that wants to help the children in our community. That's all I've asked for. It can lose in a 0-9, whatever the number is, vote when it gets to the board, if that's what happens. So I don't put any of this on the board. And it's unfortunate that it's mentioned that this was somehow political. It never had a chance to be political, to be honest with you. We couldn't get past the logistical phase, much less if it were to be political. So I think that's kind of a lazy rationalization here to say that was what the issue is. At the end of the day, I don't care who does this. If we can have 1,800 children within walking distance of a place where they can get medical care, 1,800 underserved in part of our community in the city and the county, that I don't care who does it, I support it. You know, and so we want to do the right thing here. And certainly, again, I believe in a lot of the people and their hearts and their spirits of this community that are on that board. And I really hope that moving forward, they're able to have the staff that they need to make sure that they are in the best position to make an impact for our community.
Can you help me understand? I don't really understand the mobile command grant for PPD because it's connected with the port. How is the port connected to this? What is the thing we're actually going to be getting?
Yeah, so it's actually what you'd think of as a mobile command center, you know,
an RV.
A unit that you'd be able to, but it's through a port grant. And the argument is, if something were to happen at the port or in the port area, that would allow us to have a setup. I mean, be it post-hurricane, whatever the case may be, you'd be able to have that. But of course, it's not limited to only being able to be used there. So it was really an ability to leverage our port, keep it more secure, as well as the reverberating impact of that is to be able to have some more mobile command, some more response, basically, for the city of Pensacola. So that us having the port allowed us to be able to apply for that grant. And, you know, that's another $500,000 that helps keep us safer and another public safety investment.
I'm not going to turn down the money. I'm not going to say we shouldn't have a mobile command center. It just still strikes me as I don't ever remember there being the need for a big response at the port. And it seems kind of like we found a way to get the money and they approved it. So all good. That's what it looks like to me. So they're paying for a thing that's probably maybe never going to be used in that particular way, but still we'll have it. That's what it seems like to me. And that's fine. You know, I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. And I don't think I was. We always like to end with the lightning. Oh, actually, before anybody who's already planned to go to hurricane relief, anybody that you know that's tasked toward that right now?
As of this morning, no, but of course we've been in contact. I mean, we would have resources. We're a little strapped at the moment, but we would have resources available, certainly. And as I mentioned, I called the Mayor Tallahassee yesterday and told him to reach out, Mayor Daley, if there's anything that we could be helpful with moving forward. But not at this moment, but if we need to, we could.
Hey, and sometimes, you know, some people don't remember to ask, and when you let them know in advance that they can ask, that's a helpful thing, so I appreciate that. All right, the lightning round, we ask you quick questions. I hate to bring this up because it's a painful for all of us. You one time worked at Blockbuster. Netflix is, you know, getting rid of their DVD distribution service. Does that make you happy or sad?
It just means I'm getting old. I can't believe it. I remember when DVDs was the hot thing when I was working in the Airport Boulevard location.
Do you still have any DVDs, or are you all streaming?
I'm all streaming. I'm probably in my attic. I think there's
a lot of attics, a lot of storage units and things like that. Your family, right. Are they card players? If so, what's the card game of preference?
Ooh, actually, we'll do a little bit, but no, with Caroline being 9, we've actually just started playing a little Monopoly, and I've lost. I've been last place every time we play, so I don't know what that means. Hopefully, I'm using all my resources towards the city.
Not so much the Monopoly. All of your business strategic skills are being used for the city. And then last one, somewhere around 40% to half of all Americans watch TV with the subtitles on because it's hard for them to hear or it's poorly mixed. When you watch TV, subtitles on or subtitles not on? Or only when needed?
This has been now handed to me. My girlfriend, Sydney, is a proud disciple of the captions.
Okay.
So now, by osmosis, I now do watch it with captions. And it's kind of nice. You know, you can have it on in the background, work on the computer and whatnot. So, I'm, again, getting older, but I'm trying to adapt, Andrew. You know?
I appreciate that. And I love the fact that you corrected me. Captions, not subtitles, because it's not a foreign language, although sometimes it might seem like it, especially if it's a Guy Ritchie film. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola. As always, Mr. Mayor, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.